Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
7:50 Central African Time, the time of the morning, where you join us on the segment Straight Talk with Councillor Ahmed Parak. Ahmed, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And tell me how you're doing this fine, a beautiful Sunday, red morning, Ahmed.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa ala nasalam to all our radio listeners. Alhamdulillah, shafat iti. Slight drizzle, but alhamdulillah, Allah blessed us with another fine day, shafat.
I want to know from you, Ahmed, you know, we just spoke to Adam Kamda on fishing and so forth. Did you ever fish in your life, Ahmed?
Shafat, that's one thing. I'd rather go and buy the fish than go and spend a couple of hours for one fish.
Hey, I tell you people, this guy, he literally, he grew up in the ocean. He grew up, let's see, from Parak Chacha's house to the... It must have taken you not less than 3 minutes if you ran to the ocean. So you played more soccer... Then you worried about the fish, Ahmed?
That's correct. I was more in the ground than going into the by the beach side there, Shafat.
I got it now. Yeah, you didn't go near Rivermount, Island Hotel, or all the places, and you didn't like all that. Well, good. You got a good answer there, a good mitigating factor. Well, Kaffan Duffan, what's the latest there, Ahmed?
Shafat, at the moment, there's no major issues, but the backlog of two things. One is the DNA from Pretoria. We're still having a major problem. And the other is the unclaimed bodies. We have now, it has come down from 2017 to 2019, 2020. We, in the various cases in mortuaries, we're looking at something in the region of just under 4,000.
Well, Ahmed, reading articles and seeing a lot of things happening, they say bodies are actually stinking and rotting. I mean, this is a great indictment on the government. They got billions and millions of waste on, the salaries and this and that. Can't they invest into some, solar power or something to keep the refrigerators going, Ahmed?
They have already put generators in most mortuaries. They have already started that. But they got two issues. One is the water issue and the other is the generator. And at times, because of the fuel shortage, they don't get the allowance in time. That's why it's not topped up with fuel or anything. When the fuel runs out, the generator doesn't come on. So this is the problem that the government, we're dealing with a government that, everything is a layback system they have got, when the pressure is on, then they will start waking up. Other than that, nothing happens.
Ghaffar says, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Bruce Chef. I'm enjoying your program, Consciously Connected. When Ahmed comes on, the whole family also enjoys him. May I ask, my apologies, my maaf before I put this question, but Ahmed, there is a perception that during a mayyat, we get bullied by the hearse driver and so forth. Why are they such big bullies? Maaf again. Ahmed, how you respond to the brother here?
Shabbat, I don't think it is... all the our burial society members or the drivers, some of them maybe they a little bit, I wouldn't say bullied, they can say maybe they are arrogant, but it shouldn't be like that. But it should be brought to the notice of the chairperson of Islamic Burial Council. When I was the chairperson, anything like that came, I immediately picked up the phone and I did a conference call with the complainant at the same time. So, we resolve that problem instead of going backwards and forward. So we do have, occasionally we do get issues like that, and especially from the black Muslim, that they say the Indian Muslim treated them badly or this or whatever it is. There is a meeting that is this coming Saturday, on the 7th actually, at the Al-Ansar Hall. There's all the black Muslims, they have got some grouse regarding their burial way because of the delay sometimes, but you must understand, now if you go to Inanda, now you'll have to get Phoenix Burial Service to go there. So you can't just immediately, you'll have to now get the hearse driver, pick up the hearse from Phoenix at the Phoenix Goroba Society, and then go to Inanda, and then there's 9 out of 10, they have issues in terms of paperwork. So what we have done is now, we had a meeting, I think I started this about a year and a half ago in Phoenix. We have got in Mashu, in the heart of Mashu, we have already identified a burial society. They have already written the exams with the Department of Home Affairs to become registrars. We have already, Phoenix Gruba have already given them one hearse. So we're trying to make them self-sufficient so they'll be able to run a burial services. What we are doing also now, we're looking for a small house or, you know, a small area where we can build up a ghusl khana for them. So they do not have to come to do the ghusl in Phoenix, where they can do it in in Mashu. Then the other thing is the Delta Electrical have got a land. Yunus Duma has got a land in which I have already done up as a proper cemetery. His late family members are buried in that land in Mashu. We have done the driveways, walkways. We have sorted everything out there. But it is in a very, very rowdy area, mafia area, what you can call it, or it is really in a bad area. But we have got access to go to that cemetery. I have done, we spent money when I was with the Islamic Burial Council. That cemetery is ready. So what we are doing is we have now given the Kaumashu burial service. We have put them, they became self-sufficient. We only two things now we have to identify. One is to get the ghusl khana and also give them that cemetery, that Yunus Duma's cemetery. Let them do all the burial, everything. They can do it themselves. And that's how we just have to oversee to it and then educate them and help them in terms of the paperwork, how to get the identification finished, worked out. Then we also show them, when they're picking up at the government mortuary, who they must see, how, what is the paperwork. You have to wait in terms of when you finish the paperwork, it takes between 2 to 3 hours. When the post-mortem is done, then you can only pick it up. And in some mortuaries, they only release bodies after 11. So that is all that we're teaching them to get themselves sufficient. And in this meeting here, it will be, we're going to be ironing out a lot of issues. That what we ask them, what is their problem in terms of burial? What is the issues? What is the problem that they are faced with? Then we'll be able to identify it, Chapati.
Well, I live in 9 Delta Road. Yunus Duma is 13 Delta Road. He's only 2 doors away from me. And one thing about Yunus Duma, I mean, he's an elders, member of our community, always involved in Dawa. And, you know, from I knew him. You won't believe it. I must be 12, 13, and now I'm an old bully. But I knew him from then, and he always embraced me, celebrated me. Whatever I did, Yunus Duma was always there. And I always knew he was selfless. He was Isipingo, our madrasa and our mosque. He was also chairman there for a few years, being selfless, opened so many musallas in Durban also. But mashallah, in his lifetime, you have helped him to make that Kabristan a reality. How blessed he is. Also not forgetting his son, Imran Duma, who's a very silent worker, but whom I embrace and celebrate. And I can proudly say, like you, we are one team. And Jazakallah khair for sharing that story with us. Is that whole place fenced too, Ahmad?
It is fenced, Shafat. But you know what happens in when we do fencing? Because of this informal settlement, the dollars are there, they come and rip the fence and all. But there's no major work to be done. It just needs to be cleaned up and start immediately burying. So that I've already sorted that out many years ago. And so it's up and ready to run.
Ahmed, I also recall you used to talk about the one in Kumas. And how's that cemetery there? You know, are they well kept? Because as you said, they are more, the boundaries are predominantly, African townships. How is the cemetery in Kumas, Ahmad?
Kumas is the cemetery I managed to get before I left Islamic Burial Council. That is in Craigieburn. It's a beautiful flat piece of ground. It is fenced. They have already, they have already started burying there. Our foreign nationals have been buried there, and some of our Indian Muslims have been buried in the new cemetery. It's a beautiful cemetery, Shafat.
Well, we're getting close to Ichikweni now. Yeah, we're getting very close to Ahmed's office there in Musgrave, and then we get a little lower, the Durban City Hall. Well, Ahmed, the article says here that Ichikweni municipality has confirmed that police and other law enforcement agencies have been asked to investigate the possibility that widespread water cutoffs in northern parts of Durban over the last week were results of sabotage. That's a big headline, Ahmed. How you respond?
Shafat, I think that is true, but there is still a proper investigation because the case is already been open. If you read this Sunday's morning's Sunday Tribune, legal action could flow over right to water. So there is a action has already been taken. We have been forefront in that issue as well. With the other political parties, we are saying, how come is these water pumps all of a sudden cannot work? So what we have done is we brought independent, the ex-engineers of the water department from Ichikweni, who are retired now, and these are masters. They know the city backwards. They know how the system works, and they have been giving advice. In fact, this coming Wednesday, our legal team from Joburg is going to be here in Durban to sign up more affidavits from various engineers because, you know, we have already instituted a high court case against the municipality in terms of our raw sewage that is going through to the rivers and into the beach. And you'll see how many of our beaches, you know, this is a long weekend. They won't be able to swim in our beaches because of this issue that we are faced with. So this coming week, Wednesday, we will be meeting with our legal team. In fact, I'm involved with all the engineers. I put an engineering team together where they will be taking affidavits from our senior advocate, Jill Benson. And we have already given most of our paperwork has already been lodged to court and the municipality. And we're going full out in terms of this. What we are trying to achieve here, if we can get judgment, then it will give us a precedent. And that precedent we'll be able to use, and we want to tell the judge to make it a court order, giving them a prescribed time within 60 or 90 days to fix it up, or else then they'll be charged for contempt of court.
Well, I tell you, Ahmed, once you talk to me, I mean, when it comes to law, hey, you're a mambero, you're a master. Yeah, you're a master in it. Now, any universities, if you want to confer an honorary degree in law on Ahmed, contact me. Yeah. Yeah, Regents. One of y'all. You have to, because this man deserves it. I mean, you're the lawyer's lawyer, Ahmed.
Shafat, I'd love to, when it comes to challenges, I love to take challenges on. And that's how, you know, in the last 8 years, we are only one. Three constitution court cases. Now, you know, when you do constitution, you have used up all remedies in the country, and now you went to the highest court in the land to get a judgment. And we, unfortunately enough, that I worked with a team that on all three occasions, we won all the constitution court cases, Shafat.
Alhamdulillah, Ahmed, and Allah bless you for that. Well, I'm looking at a message from Babu. Babu says, Ahmed, you are simply one of the best. How come a power utility, Eskom, has announced that load shedding will be suspended over the long weekend? And they say this is due to the sustained improved performance of generation availability, as well as the anticipated lower demand over the weekend. Who are they bluffing? Because there'll be bigger demand in the weekend because all will be chowing more and having more geysers on and more showers. Ahmed, how do you respond to Babu?
Babu is 100% right, but Shafat, how they got additional power, they, you know, we buy at the moment from Mozambique. So we have went and did a deal, and they're not telling us that what deal this whole deal they have put together. And they're bringing additional power from there because they cannot get our systems working in time. That's why they're saying that we have now got, we don't have issues. So that, you know, they're trying to save their skin in whichever way. And recently, you know, our president went to China, Russia and China. They went and brought something, you know, of couple billions for the party as well as for the country in terms of to save their skin. And then they have promised the presidents of both these countries something big in South Africa. Now, I'm only hoping they don't sell our Karoo shale gas line to America or one of these big countries for $80 billion when it's worth $366
billion. Yeah, that's a great observation, but we need to have, you know, people watching over, like, you know, you have a media watch and that watch. We need to have a government watch. Who can do that watching, Ahmad?
Shafat, we have got a team in place. We see to on a day-to-day, minute-to-minute, we have got a team that only looks at every move the government is doing. So we wait for opportunities to take them on, and we'll see that these things don't happen, because otherwise we're selling our country below cost. And China is waiting to take all our harbors and all the airports. That's what they do. They keep giving you money, unlimited resources they will give you from China. But when you can't pay, they pull the plug on you and they say, okay, fine, we're taking the airport and we'll take the harbor away. And this happened in various other countries in the world already.
Looking at a message, Khalil says, Assalamu alaikum. Must tell you I enjoy Consciously Connected. It's my newspaper for the morning on the weekend. Jazakallah khair for that. I want to tell Ahmad Parak that when it comes to this country crying about what happened during apartheid, it is the ANC that calls the apartheid stories over and over again. 30 years later, they still blame apartheid for all the mess that they have created. But Ahmad, I want to know from you. I was reading an article this morning that says 90% of the truck that stops and distributes fuel and so forth, these companies are in the are owned by whites, and that whites have a preference when it comes to fuel and so forth. Even the garages that are owned in this country, a percentage of it is more white than any other colors. How true is this? Because I'm fed up of hearing the color stories. Ahmad, how you respond there?
First and foremost, Shafat, the apartheid government gave you a country that it was working order. Like you bought a car, it was working order, and you haven't serviced the car, it became a skoronk, and it's going to cost you money to repair it. It's the same thing. The apartheid government gave us a country in 1994. Everything was working, only for them to expand it and bring it to another level and make sure the infrastructure was serviced regularly. They haven't done that. Secondly, Shafat, we have all the ammunition, we've got all the resources in the country. Why should we then depend on international countries? When you got in this country, when you got A-grade coal, when you got 40 kilometers in Richards Bay, you've got 200-plus vehicles, big trucks, that is offloading our coal for international. Yet international world is telling you because of climate change, they don't want power stations anymore. So why are they buying our coal? Thirdly, the brother's question is whether our trucking companies are only owned by the whites. No, it is owned by a lot of blacks nowadays. They are into trucking companies. Our Muslims are in the trucking companies. There is a mixed nationality in the trucking business. So there is no such thing that the whites are controlling the trucking business in that sector, I would say so.
Looking at a message here, he says, Assalamu alaikum, Ahmad. I like to remain anonymous. I live in Stanger. And yeah, in Stanger, we have the King Shaka's grave. But I want to know, how relevant are the Muslims with the Zulu King? Because it's time we made inroads to the Zulu King and maybe become his confidant. Because there is no more Prince Mangosuthu Buthelezi, who was a prime minister. Perhaps we could whisper in the king's ears to appoint a Muslim Zulu prime minister. Ahmad, how do you respond to Anonymous from KwaZulu Natal?
Shafat, when it comes to the Zulu king, one is like the late Zulatini. He was a gentleman. He worked with all the Indian community, even the late Kachapu Buthelezi worked with the Indian community very closely, and he always respected the Indian community. We, as Muslim and the Indians of this country, we have got a very good understanding and a reputation that carries South Africa with the king, and he has been respecting us. And I have met the new king as well as the late Zulatini and Kachapu Buthelezi in many occasions. And you know, whenever he sees you two, yeah, I was fortunate. Like, I was sitting one day and he was going past. He came to me to greet me. He said, "How are you?" and all that. You know, so you know the respect that is command among the Indian community, because we also funded them with the IFP. We have funded the Buthelezi, and we are also the household of the king. Whenever there's big functions or anything like that, they you always look upon us, and we always look after him. And whenever you go to visit him, you know what the rule is. You know, I was in a couple of months ago, this year, my president, Hamid Mashaba, wanted to go and meet the new king. So we had to buy, it cost in the region of about 27,000 to 28,000 rand. We had to buy a cow and send it with our delegation before we even went to meet the king. So that is one of the rules, that whenever you go and meet him, you have to take a token on either a cow or take a couple of sheep or goats or something, and then you go and meet him.
Well, Ahmad, that's why I know, you know, many years ago, I think this was in 2003, that there was an Arab prince that was down, and through the CII radio, they asked me, Ashraf Ali Sisi, that he said, Shafat, could you organize a quick meeting between King Goodwill Zulatini and the prince? And I wondered, I said, but Ashraf, you're telling me so late. But anyway, I got in touch with his secretary at that time, was a certain Sitole. And I said, can you organize a meeting with the king at lunchtime? And that was at 12 the next day. And he said, oh, the king has a three-month waiting list, King Goodwill Zulatini at that time. But I said, but the Arab prince is giving a dagger, and it's worth about 75,000 US. Guess what, Ahmad? The meeting was on within a minute. He said, you can talk to the king. And at that time, King Goodwill Zulatini was driving a tractor. And I spoke to the king personally, and he said, we will meet you at our Ulundi tomorrow for lunch. And they said, the trick was done by the dagger, Ahmad.
Yeah, in fact, even the new king too, Shafat, is very understanding, down to earth, and his right-hand man. In fact, you'll see him, he wears the Zulu garb and all that, Ramlakhan. You'll see him most
times. Yes.
Whenever, yeah. So you'll see he wears the Zulu garb and everything else, and when there's an occasion, you have to put the headgear and all that. You know, I've been through this, Shafat. So, yes, he's very, very close to our Muslim community, Indian community in South Africa, Shafat.
Yeah, Ramlakhan and your good friend, AV. Hey, they're very close, eh? They're like brothers, Ahmad.
That's correct, Shafat. Through AV, I met the king. And when he was invited in Grey Street Masjid and all that, in fact, I've been speaking to AV, and he said that sometime in October or November, one Jummah, that he's going to, he'll be able to assess me when Hamid Mashaba is going to be coming. He'll be giving the Jummah talk there, Shafat.
Hey, you and AV, what a team, Ahmad. Looking at a message here from Dawood, he says, Ahmad, do you know this? Durban can wave a tourism goodbye if it doesn't get its act together, Ahmad. You look at that Nick Stain, they stripped the Durban Fun World from him, took it away. But many months later, they have done nothing about it. This is a story of Durban and Itikweni. When they have a gift horse, they look at it in the mouth and they destroy it. Ahmad, how you respond to Dawood here?
Shafat, that Nick Stain issue that you're calling the Fun World, they call it a Fun World. I was involved with my chairperson, Zikrella, and we went and met personally Nick Steyn. Now, his grouse was that he had a lease. His lease expired, Chapat. He hasn't done any improvements or anything through the old system, which was imported. Everything was imported from overseas. He hasn't done, you know, he's not moving with the times. So we told him, you know, we are prepared, council level, we are prepared to extend his lease for another 5 years with another 5 years option. Because you know what, if you're going to renovate and spend about 10 million on the new fund world, which we were talking about, you know, you need to recoup your money. So the thing is, the problem he faced with was he didn't want to invest or anything, but yet he wanted the lease. Now, you know, he wants to still carry on with the old system there. And that the old system was outdated and, you know, most of the things were not working. So that's where the fallout actually came. The public don't know what the behind the scene, what actually happened. The problem is he didn't want to renew the lease and he didn't want to upgrade the facility. And that's where the problem started. So what they have got now, they're putting it out in tender, and you'll get a lot of international companies have already, a few people from Malaysia, some people from Qatar have already applied to upgrade that beach area going down to South Beach Way, which they want to do it like how Cape Town is that sort of setup is already started. Yet the biggest problem at the moment is the truckers that is coming using Esplanade going into the harbour. That's what we are trying to eliminate at the moment. Try and move our facility, our harbour facility, to the old airport. That is already in the plan. So that's going to happen shortly. You know, once a new cabinet is going to be installed sometime next year, and from there we're going to take it so far.
Yeah, Ahmed, you talk about the truckers. When you read the Rising Sun South Coast edition, you see that the people of Clarewood are crying. They say the truckers are a danger to Clarewood. The truckers are a danger to Clarewood. But nothing is being done for the residents of Clarewood. Ahmed, how you respond to that?
Shavan, if you look at the, you know, from the bulk market side, that's where there's a problem. There is houses in between, and those guys have arrived. Now I've used that old houses, converted them into offices, and they're using it for truckers' workshop, and everything is happening there. Then on the other side of South Coast Road, Supan Road, they have already invaded that area. So the metropolis with the council, they are busy working towards that now to start. They need to move because there is facilities made for them to move all the truckers to a truckers park, which we will be calling. And once that is up and running, then all these truckers from the entire Clarewood area will be gone.
So in other words, Clarewood, if I'm trying to read you right here, will Clarewood no more be a residential area? It will become an industrial area. And then, a few years ago, we are reading that the whole of the South Coast will be taken over by the harbour. And then we are also reading articles that the whole of Isipingo Beach and the bottom here will be an extension of the harbour. And there'll be a massive, container terminal and so forth. What happened to that project, Ahmed?
Shafad, most projects were shelved due to funding. Now, with they are re-looking at it. Then what happened with COVID? We had a massive business issues in the country, and people are only recovering. A lot of companies, a lot of industries have already closed because of that. Now, there's major projects on the pipeline. For us, you're talking from Spingo Beach. It's not going to affect Spingo Beach. The only thing it might affect Spingo Beach is your truckers and the container terminal. That is going to be, but that too, it will be diverted. If you see by Durban South Toyota, there will be they're going to call it a road link. It will go in that way. So it won't affect coming down to Spingo Beach Way or anything like that. So, before the you'll find you've got the mouth that is going through to the sea, just next to the BP garage there, Durban South Toyota. There's going to be a road that is going to take you through to the harbour, and you want to come out onto the freeway. After that, you go into the north, or you can go into the south. That's the road link. They're busy looking at it. If that comes in, it's going to make a big impact on the city as well as the other area. It will take away most of your traffic flow, and it's going to be a separate road link going through the old South Coast roadway. So they have got massive plans. But now to put this plan and put this puzzle together, obviously you're looking for billions of rand to put this whole thing together. Because at the moment, it's costing the city as well as people are importing goods. The ships are sitting in some cases 3 to 4 days before it comes into the harbor because of the congestion. Now, some of these ships are now going to PE, East London, and they're going away to Cape Town. And most of them are going away to Richards Bay. Now, it's the additional cost now to bring your container from Richards Bay back to Durban and all that. That is an issue. So that's what we are trying to eliminate at the moment. But things are getting there. But the problem is we need to put our act together. There's so much of things are happening together. You got your road problem, you got potholes, you got electricity problem, you got your water problem, where the city is losing 51% of your water consumption per day. And you're looking at a couple billions we're paying for, and we're losing the water. And then you got your sewage issue, where all the sewage is, so all these issues is compounding on the city, and you cannot do everything one time. And the pressure from the public is massive at the moment, and that's why you'll see the mayor is going to all the ratepayers association just to cover his back, because end of the day he's answerable to the people of the city. He's the mayor. His head is in a guillotine here. He has to answer, and he has to answer by all the political parties as well. So now he doesn't know where to turn, because end of the day you only got a budget of 60 billion, and how much can you fix? That is a problem. You had your looting, then you had a flood last year, and that we have not recovered from that yet, because we're still fixing. So that is, and the major issue, they are saying we in the suburbs are being taken care of. We got it too soft for too long. They're channeling some of the money into the rural area and all, where they need to fix the rural area as well.
Well, Ahmed, you're making a lot of sense here. Looking at a message from Dawood, he says, "Assalamu alaikum, Ahmed. You know the story about the foreigners. I was reading an article that the Durban Magistrates Court has described the accused. He's talking about Anda Ngozi and Nomthando Dandando Inyus Mamboya, who worked at the department and at the Department of Home Affairs, and they were issuing these fake passports to syndicates for 3,000 and 5,000 rand to foreign nationals. This is an epidemic that is going on and on. And I can tell you, Ahmed, in my area, even those that call themselves Muslims are getting these false documents. I want to spread them to you. How do I do it, Ahmed? Ahmed, how do you respond to our brother here?
Firstly, Shafar, you got 71,000. IDs that is on hold at the moment. That's number one. Number two is the major kingpin, the Pakistani, the Somalis, and some of the Indians are being behind bars. So we have already broke the back of the syndicate. So what we are saying is the Home Affairs need to go back from 94 and check all the foreign nationals that are here, whether the documentation, if they have done the paperwork correctly. And if there is paperwork that was not put in place, and we need to check the system up, because the new system, now you got your smart ID. The smart ID, you can go to your UK, America, to Russia, wherever you go, they will be able to pick you up if you got issues with the government here in South Africa or anywhere in the world. That's how the new smart idea has come into play. So the thing is, the Home Affairs, they now need to get their act together, because at the moment we are putting so much of pressure on the border, because the border is like a free flow. The guys at the border, I was told this week, they can get anything, they make anything from 20 to 30,000 rand a day, because letting the foreign nationals come into the country. And you'll find the recent conference of EFF, how many thousand Zimbabweans were there? There was over 25,000 Zimbabwe. Now, Malema is saying these are all our brothers from Zimbabwe, and he's fighting for the Zimbabwean to stay here in the country. But if they haven't got paperwork, they need to go back. And we have already started deporting at the moment. You'll find on Friday night's news too, how many thousands were deported. Yet we don't have money, but they have to go now, Shafat, because it's causing a massive problem in terms of infrastructure. Because a foreign national comes here for greener pastures, he works here, he does only pay for food and his living expenses. The rest of the money is all going back to his homeland. So he's not benefiting us in any way. They don't pay PAYE. His business is not fully registered. There's no tax, no VAT. There's nothing. So that is a problem that we have. If they're not going to curb that, it's going to make matters worse there. Because your infrastructure, you can keep fixing, but you'll still have the same problem, because you're taking a 1 ton and you're putting 10 tons on it. You have to, it'll never work, because now you're putting overloaded on the deck truck. So that is the problem. These guys are coming here and we're not upgrading our infrastructure in terms of how many people it can take. In Durban and surrounding, you need X amount of people. That's our infrastructure. You can't take any more than that. That's why in our Action SA conference, we have said in the rural area, if you go to Nangoma, you must have your own petrol station, you must have your own school, private schools, clinic, hospital, your own industries, SSMEs. You need to create. In the homelands, they only had two things they were doing previously, Shafat. They were only doing agriculture and they were doing cattle farming, nothing else. So we are saying now, open up there, give them the fully fledged infrastructure, let them fend for themselves, so those people don't have to come to the city. That's what we are saying.
This message says, Blue Chef and Munro, I'm a beach boy. I'm also, I was also a Beach Pirate fans. And I know that Munro played for Beach Pirates with Adam. Hey, Adam was a dinkamo. But I want to tell Munro the story about Spingo Beach and Spingo in general. You have these big container companies coming through and these trucks. These lands are marshy lands, Ahmed. These lands are made on water. When rain comes, their land is sinking. Even Durban South Motors is on marshy lands. When there's a rain, you can see what's going on. The road breaks up. Tell the Itikweni municipality to abandon their idea of Spingo Beach and Prospecton, because this place one day will be eaten up by the sea. Ahmed, how you respond to one of our beach pirates here, Ahmed?
Shabbat, Spingo Beach, the bottom section of the beach, Spingo Beach, where we call Crab City, that is okay, fine. That land was actually filled. That the mouth should have been right up to the garage and where my late brother stays. That is the filled, you know, at that time those lands were going like 2,500 to 3,000. And we're telling the people to buy, my late father used to say, buy that land for 1,200 square meters for 2,500, 3,000. They're saying, no, who's going to go and stay there? Because that place is not right and all. The same land today, you want to pay in the region of a couple of thousand. So that's one. Secondly, take Prospecton. If you take motor assemblies away and you take all the industries that are around motor assemblies, supplying the small SSMEs, supplying motor assemblies, you will have a massive problem. Spingo Rail will come overnight dead. It will come a ghost town. So the industries are actually keeping the whole of Spingo alive. But I agree with the brother, especially the truckers and all that coming into and causing. Now, what you need to do is, Jafar, is immediately, whenever the truckers park onto the road, when they have to go to the terminal to go and drop off containers, then obviously you phone Metro Police. Metro Police must act immediately. And if they don't act, you can even call me too. Then we'll register a complaint and we can speak to the head of Metro Police, superintendent, director, Shiv Prasad. We say, we have a problem there. We'll bring him out there and show it to him. It's causing a problem because, you know, female drivers are driving to Spingo Beach, picking up the children from school and going back home and all. It is dangerous. So if anyone in Spingo Beach has that problem, we must take it up with the Metro Police and we can curb that. We cannot say we don't want industries or we don't want anything in Spingo because that will make your town a ghost town and you need that because the people of Spingo Beach, also Spingo Rail, Spingo Hills and all, are all working in Prospect. So, but the problem that we are faced with is this marshy land, we understand that, but you cannot overload the area as well. So I think most of the land in Spingo and Prospect is like virtually full. Now everything in from Spingo Beach right up to, it is going down to Ilovo now. If you see Ilovo, I'll show you plans at them. There's a massive Ford dealership like Toyota, they're going to be opening up here. So all industries are now moving towards that way, the corridor they're going to call it. At the moment, previously they used to do a Hammersdale, Hammersdale way. So now it's going more that way. And they also now, the north is full. That's why they're opening the south now. So the south is going to be, the road's going to be widened. Like what if you're going to Marisburg, you see all those roads have been widened. And if you're going to Hammersdale, there's a special lane for truckers and all that. You'll be able to go into Hammersdale from three lanes. They made it into four lanes and they redid the whole corridor, they're calling it. So that way, everything is going to be happening, Shabbat. That is the reason they're looking at the harbor at the old airport to extend it. So from that corridor, you go to wherever you want. So it's going to, the plans are there, but it's a matter of putting the plan together and getting the funding, Shabbat.
Well, I tell you, Ahmad, what a fruitful program full of information. Allah bless you, Allah keep you. Your parting words this morning?
Shabbat, there will be a poster be put on various masjid in the next week or so. We are humbly asking every unregistered person that he hasn't registered himself via the IEC system, online system, there will be form on the 18th and 19th in KZN, there will be voter registration. This is one time I'm humbly asking our Muslim community for all the problems that we keep hearing on a week-to-week, day-to-day basis for service delivery. This is your opportunity to now register yourself online. Which party, I'm actually saying, I'm not saying you which party you must vote for, but I'm saying if you register yourself, you will have a vote. And that vote will determine who are in government. Then when the new government is put in place, you will have a say because you say, I have voted for Action SA. Then after you have voted, now I want service delivery. I want 1 to 10. How soon can you do that? We then, maybe with your people's dua, maybe I'm going to parliament or I'm going to province. I have not decided. This is the week I have to do my application and has to be sent to our head office in Joburg. They will scrutinize. I have to get police clearance. All that has to be done before I send the documentation. Allah will, we'll see where I have to and fight for the community. That's the best we can do, Shafa.
I tell you, Ahmad, your dream was to become a counselor and your dream was fulfilled. Hey, next year, this time I say, we welcome a member of parliament. Ahmad Parak from Councillor. Ahmad, you have a mashallah beautiful day ahead. We'll talk to you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.